All right, so we are on Nun Amud Aleph, and we are starting from, see, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines down in the wide lines. In the middle line is the two dots where it says Amr B'Akiva. Okay, so the Mishnah, just we're referring to a phrase in the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that the first opinion was, well, depending on Rabbi Yosef Gluya's opinion, is depending on how many people you have as part of your Zimun, you'll add to the praises of Hashem, you'll add to the names of Hashem, because the larger the crowd, he said, the praise has to match the largesse of the crowd. So Rabbi Akiva's opinion, however, in the Mishnah was, that it doesn't matter. Whether you have 10 people, or whether you have 100,000 people, the that which you say, which is Baruch HaSashem Baruch, Nevarach Elokeinu, is the same, regardless of how many people you have in your Zimun. So whether you have 10 or 100, the Zimun is the same. What you say is actually the same. And he says, the proof is, Rabbi Akiva, this is the Mishnah, so Rabbi Akiva said, Mama Simon Bebeis Knesset. It's the same like we find in Shul, meaning, when you start to happen, you say, Baruch HaSashem HaMavorach, right, when the Chazan starts Shachris, after Pesukei Zimra, or by Mariv. So he says, Baruch HaSashem HaMavorach. Doesn't matter whether you have 10 people in the Minyan, or whether you have 100,000 people in the Minyan, at the CM HaShas in MetLife Stadium, or 95,000, the Baruch HaSashem HaMavorach is the same. You don't add extra phrases, extra terminology, extra names of Hashem, just because they have more people. That was the argument between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yosef Glili. Now, Rabbi Yosef Glili, though, had a pasuk. He had a pasuk to prove his point, which was, B'machalos Baruchu Elokim. With the crowd, according to B'machalos, meaning according to the crowd, you should praise Hashem. So if you have a bigger crowd, praise Hashem more. So the Gemara now asks, for Rabbi Akiva. According to Rabbi Akiva, Hai krod Rabbi Yosef Gluli my Ovid Light. What does Rabbi Akiva do with the Pasuk of Rabbi Yosef Gluli? What does he explain? Makalos Darchu Elokim. The Gemara answers, Mibayle Lechintani. Rabbi Akiva uses it to explain the following brisa. Hai Rabbi Meir Omer. Rabbi Meir says, Minayin Shafilu Ubarim Shabime Iman Amru Shira Al Hayam. How do you know that even the fetuses inside the womb, inside their mothers, which were at the Kriyas Yamsuf, they also sang the praises of Hashem. How do we know that even inside, Shenamar, because it says in the Pasuk, B'machalos Baruchu Elokim, Hashem Mimekor Yisrael, B'machalos Baruchu Hashem Elokim Hashem, is when in the gathering of B'nai Israel, they blessed Hashem from the source of Israel. Now the Makor, in typical rabbinic parlance, refers to the womb. It refers to the uterus. So the Makor refers to that organ. And therefore, Makor Yisrael means that the praises of Hashem even occurred in the Makor of Yisrael, even when the fetuses in the womb were also praising Hashem. That also is happening. Now, what about Rabbi Yosef Gluli? How does he know that even the fetuses, right, they were also praising Hashem? So the answer is, V'idach Makor Nafka. He says, no, the Pasuk has two different folk keywords. One keyword is b'machalos. That tells us that you have to praise Hashem according to the size of the group. And the Makor Yisrael teaches us that even in the fetuses, even inside the womb, they also praise Hashem. Okay. The question is asked is, I get the idea of, it's important to note that if you hold like a Rabbi Yosef Gluli, that the size of the group dictates how you praise Hashem. Why was it important to darshan the pasuk, to learn that even at Kriyas Yamsuf, even the fetuses were praising Hashem? Like, so what? Like, my nafkamina. Okay, I mean, like, it's nice.
Well, maybe it's showing a massive plurality, like the fact that just like this is like a gigantic number of even the ones that
meaning
were
born. Meaning it was so like throughout Israel, it was even...
Right, it's trying to explain the plurality, like maybe that it's so massive.
We see that, like, for example, not that it's the exact same, but we see it, like, by Matan Torah, that we say even future generations, at the time of Kabbalah the Torah, so it wasn't just the people who were there, it was even future generations that were right, accepting the Torah. So interesting, I didn't think about that. That's your answer, okay?
Represents the future generation.
And that's the future. That's a bit, yeah, interesting. So okay, that's one. That's we'll quote that in your name because I didn't see anyone say that. Nice, I like that. Okay, and I like David's connection. It's even the right that itself is the same idea because it is the future source of where the future generations will come from. The other answer that I saw given is that, you know, we take for granted that what a woman does while she's pregnant doesn't have you know, an impact on the fetus. Now, we know physically it can. So, for example, you know, Chas v'Shalom, a woman's doing drugs, we know that that can affect, that can cross the placenta, and that can affect the fetus. But what the Gemara here is trying to point out is that even religious activities, even religious things that she's involved in, spiritual moments, have an internal impact as well on the fetus. So that standing at Kriyas Yam Suf and experiencing a Gilui Shechina, the revelation of Hashem's nisim, miracles at Kriyas Yam Suf, not only stirred and created a situation where B'nai Yisrael, spontaneously, they sang Shira, they sang the praises of Hashem, but even the impact was felt internally so that the fetus, which was not the theoretical future children, but the ones that are really there at the moment, felt the impact of where their mother was and also felt the need, the spontaneous need to go ahead and sing Shira. So in other words, what a woman does when she's pregnant spiritually has an effect on the child. How do we see this? So we see this in two ways. So one is the Gemara in Pesachim. Gemara in Yoma, Pei Beis. Gemara in Yoma, Pei Beis says, if it talks about Yom Kippur. So it talks about if a woman has this intense craving to eat some food. So the Gemara has a story where there was a woman who was pregnant and on Yom Kippur, and she had an intense craving to eat a certain food. Now, if it was really sakanas nefashos, it was like you're life-threatening, then they would give her the food. But it wasn't that situation. It was just an intense interest. So Rabbi Yehuda Nasi says to this particular, they ask him what to do. What was to do? Should we give her some food? She has like intense, she's dying to eat it. So he says to them, whisper in her ear, it's Yom Kippur, and kind of reminds her. So they whisper in her ear, and the intense pangs of hunger died down. In other words, we're assuming that it was the fetus that was sort of pulling on the mother, saying, hey, I want something to eat. You know, we know that when a woman's pregnant, she has these hunger pangs. And that when they whispered it, that Yom Kippur, and she, you know, when her body felt, again, this is Yom Kippur, it affected the fetus. And guess what happened? Who came out? It says Rav Yochanan came out of that pregnancy.
Wow.
The Gemara says another story immediately afterwards, that there was another situation of a woman who was pregnant, had an intense need to eat, and again, they tried to remind her, this is Yom Kippur, and didn't work. So what came out, it says, was a rasha, a particular person who was miserly. It was a person who always hoarded, when it was a famine, a time of famine, he used to hoard all the food so he could sell at higher prices. So clearly someone who like had such intense interest in food, it went beyond even the spiritual needs of Yom Kippur. So again, the idea is the impact can be felt inside.
I'm sorry about the impact. Don't we see that there are times when, the mothers that, like, sat by the Beit Midrash.
Yes.
That impacted them.
Yeah, that was right with the baby being born. But yes, and even before the baby can recognize what's going on, there's circumstance. Yeah, so 100%. There was a story, yes, they would bring the baby to the Beit Midrash to listen to the sound story. They have the story of Beit Shammai. And the Mishnah in Sukkah talks about a case where the Shammai put the baby in the Arisa in the crib and opened up the ceiling so that they would be sitting in the Sukkah, even as a baby, again, to impact their environment. The final, most obvious story of where the impact of the fetus can be felt spiritually by the mother is Shimshon. Right? Shimshon, it says that his mother, already from the time that he was a fetus, that he already was a Nazir. How is Shimshon a Nazir even from the time of fetus? Because his mother refrained from wine and grape products and from becoming Tameh, even while she was pregnant with him. So that we see that, we mean he was a Nazir. He wasn't, things were crossing the placenta. The answer is no. Even what the mother's doing spiritually, so she was acting like a Nazira at the time that she was pregnant, already can impact the fetus. So that's what they say from this Gemara, is a source to show that it's not just the physical things that the woman ingests can impact, but even the spiritual. And we have gave a few Gemaras that give those examples. Okay, let's continue. Okay, so that's the first discussion. Amar Rav, halacha k'Rabbi Akiva. We paskin like Rabbi Akiva, meaning we paskin, doesn't matter whether you have 10 or whether you have 100,000 people, it's all the same, you make the same birchas hazimun. The Ravina of Rav Chaim Bar Buzi, iklu the Beirish Galusa. So we have a few Reish Galusa stories here. So they went to the Reish Galusa's house. V'kam Rav Chama v'kam Ahadar Abe Meya. You know, sometimes if you're looking for a minion, he went to look for 100. He's in the Rish Galusa's house, and they're benching. So instead of looking just for 10, he wanted to add, like, to the higher level of benching because, you know, the other opinion, the Aglia's opinion, is that you can say a more praiseworthy benching, Zimon, Bircha Zimon, if you have 100. So he, Harry, you got the spot? We're up to? Okay, so he went to look for 100. I don't think he had, like, 10. He went to look for 100.
Right.
They must have got close to 100. So he tried to get a few more to get up to 100. So they'd be able to do a special blessing. So I'm Ravina. Lechichas, you don't have to do that. Because Hachi Amarava, Halach Rabbi Akiva, we follow like Rabbi Akiva. So what's interesting about this statement is that Lechichas, why didn't he have to do it? Because he passed him like Rabbi Akiva. How do we pass him like Rabbi Akiva? I mean, we passed him that. Once
doesn't
you have, matter. Doesn't matter whether you have 10 or more, it's the same difference. So let me ask you a question. What if you have 9? Should you have to look for 10?
I thought you could split into 3 threes, no?
We're not into splitting. You have simply nine people. The question is, do you have to look for number 10 so you can get to, remember, we don't hold that there's a difference between benching with 10 people and benching with 100 people or 1,000 or 10,000, which is what the Mishnah talks about other people. It's all the same for us. We say, Nevrach Elokeinu Shachal Mishalo. But if we don't have 10, we only say Nevrach Shachal Mishalo. We don't say Hashem's name. So if I have 9, whether we split, we don't split up. The point is, I'm only going to say Nevrach Shachal Mishalo. If I get one more, I can say Nevrach Elokeinu Shachal Mishalo. So should I look after 10 or not?
People do that.
So let's see what the halacha is. So the impact. Yeah, yeah, go ahead.
So but I'm talking about, like, the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva.
Yeah.
That, you know, 10 or...
10 or more, but we know that there's a difference between 9 and 10.
But isn't it true, and the rabbi talks about this a lot, that it's better to have a lot of people, more than 10 davening, like 10 minyanim of 10, versus 1 minyan of 100?
Oh, that's a great question. Yeah, we're going to get to that. So we're going to get to that, which is an excellent point. As it relates to when you can, when we can separate, well, let's say we can split the Zimun.
Okay.
But right, we're talking about you're trying to build.
That's Ravam.
Yeah, we're going to get to Ravam. It's going to play a big role in tonight's discussion, 100%. But in this point, we're simply looking to reach a level. Like, we don't have a minyan yet. Certainly, everyone would say, if we only had 9 people in the room for Nav Marv, we should certainly look for number 10 to make sure we have a minyan. The question is, if we have a Zimun of 9, when we say look for 10, there's no one else around. What are we going to do? We're going to find. We'll see.
Same idea.
We'll see here. So the Shulchan Aruch says, and I'll tell you the Sfar in a second, Shulchan Aruch says, Shnaim she'achlu, if two people are eating together, mitzvah she'yachzru achar shlishi she'yitzartim on the zimun. It's a mitzvah to go ahead and find the third so you can have a zimun. Because you go from 2 to 3, you have those zimuns to zimun. Not only that, the Shulchan Aruch writes, furthermore,
then it's to say that zimun itself is a mitzvah.
Well, that's for sure. Zimun is for sure mitzvah derabanan. Most likely, the question was Mitzvah Daraisa, but definitely a Mitzvah Darabanan, for sure. Definitely a Zimun to Mitzvah. Umitzvah, Lachter Achar Asara. And definitely, and the Mitzvah Shulchan Aruch writes, even to find 10, if you have only 9. We'll get to the way. So, you should find number 10. Why is that? What's the logic? Because here in the story by the Reish Galusa's house, he was looking for 100. Now, we know there's no difference between 10 and 100. We're going to say the same Zimun. But that implies that if it wasn't the same, if it was going to make a difference 100 versus 10, he should have to find 100. So for us, who hold that there's a difference between 3 and 10, or for 2 to 3, we should definitely go after looking for the extra person. Now, the Mishnah Berurah writes, we're talking about mitzvah shiachter. We didn't have to start with the WhatsApp. You know, we got 2 looking for 3. You know, we got 9 looking for 10. Come to the house. Like, you have the WhatsApp groups in different communities? No. The Mishnah Berurah writes, Hainu imahem bebeisam. If you have another person in the house, like imagine you're eating dinner with your family, you have a few people there, someone maybe is already ate earlier, or someone isn't eating yet, someone's around the house. So if you have someone else, mitzvah liten lo davar ma le'achol, just give them something to remember, to join your zimun, to go from 2 to 3, we had learned a few weeks earlier, or from 9 to 10, all they have to do is eat anything, or drink anything. They don't actually have to have mezonos. They have to have something to eat. They can have a vegetable. They can have an apple. They can have a drink of soda, something. They have to just have something, just not water. 100% right. That's what we learned before. Because water is not chashuv. And anything else, even if it's shahakol, as long as it's not like water, would be sufficient to join the zima. So you should find the extra person based on the logic of this gemara. So this is halacha l'maisa. If you're sitting around with two people, and you got one of the person sitting around, say, hey, come join us, buddy. Have a little something. And then we can make a zima, or we can look for 10. It's halacha, what you said.
You don't have to go out in the street.
No, you don't have to go in the street, but the Mishnah is in your house.
Minyan, yeah.
Minyan wood is a different level. Yeah, yeah. Go ahead.
How far things have come where water is not kosher? Water is more expensive today than.
Oh. Everyone's drinking the water bottle. The smart water is PG. Yeah. I understand. The less healthy, the more.
So. That's sort of bringing someone in to make the 10.
Yeah, it would be. Yeah, 100%. That's what the Shulchan Aruch writes. That's 100% correct. Yeah, you're right. Definitely, you should.
Sorry.
You should try. Now, what about if I have 7? Should I have to find, so if I have 7, should I find 8, 9, and 10? Like, how far do you have to go? So Mishnah Berurah writes some Machlokas Acharonim, actually. Maybe you have to find 1. Other Acharonim might, no. The whole idea is, anything, as long as you have meaning 7 is the minimum, as long as you already have 7 who've eaten bread. You don't have to add new people eating bread and washing. But just to have 3 people grab a little bite, a little something, that's not a big deal. And some Acharonim say you should even go after numbers 8, 9, and 10, not just 1. Okay, that's a Machlokas. But certainly, if it's only 1, for sure, if you're that close, and someone's nearby, Fulman, have them join the Zima. Okay, important Allah Lamaisa. More Allah Lamaisa stuff. Okay. Amravina. Lechichas Ella. Sorry. Where are we up to here? We all right. Amarava. Ki azlinan rifta. Ki achlinan. Sorry. When we ate rifta bay rishkalusa mevarchin gimel gimel. So when we were eating in the rishkalusa's house, also we would split into a zimum 3. Meaning there was a large crowd in the house of rishkalusa, and instead of waiting till the rishkalusa would bench all together, we used to break off into groups of 3 and bench on our own with the zimum. Mar says, well, why'd you break into groups of 3? Remember, there's a large crowd there. Let's go. V'livrchu yod yod. Break into groups of 10. Wouldn't that make more sense? Because then you could say, Baruch Hashem v'vayra. Mar says, Shama resh galusa v'ikpid. The resh galusa is going to see and hear that you are making a separate zimun with 10, and he's going to be upset. He's not going to like that. Now, the question is, what is he? Why is he only noticing with 10? So the answer is, first of all, 10 is more people. It's a simple answer. But also, because since you're saying Baruch Hashem and Vorach, people have to really hear Hashem's name in order to answer that zimun properly, so you're going to say it louder. With a group of 10, with 3 people, it's just me, you, and them, I can say it pretty quietly. With a group of 10, it'll have to be louder, so he's going to notice. He's going to notice that you're making a separate zimun, and he's not going to like it. Why doesn't he like it? So let's look at Rashi. Rashi says, Shama Reish Galusa. The Im Hayim Zam in Yod Yod. If there was 10, Hayatzar Chamavarach Lahagbiya Kolo, you're going to have to be louder. The Yishma Reish Galusa is going to hear that you're benching on your, you broke away, and you're making a breakaway benching. Forget Ray Goldberg's word, breaking Minyanim.
Reish
Galusa's got worries about breakaway benching, right? Breaking Zimun. Vicharalo, and he's personally angry about this. Why? Sha'anu Osim Chabur La'atzmeinu B'farhesed. That we're making our own separate, in his house, at his table, we're making our own separate zimun. He's not going to like that. He's not going to appreciate it. Afagav, and now, by the way, even though they stayed to the end, Rashi just finishes off by explaining, even though they stayed to the end of the meal, they actually stayed to the end. So the Gemara say, well, why didn't they just wait to the end of the meal? The nafkiu, the birchatsu, the Gemara says, deresh galusa, let them be yaitse with the bracha, the resh galusa, with a huge crowd. Barova, right? Bigger crowds. So the Gemara says, "Aidi de avshu kuli amo leshmi." Since it was so big, it was since you're at like these big simcha meals, it's a balagan.
Right.
And even the Reish Galus in his own house couldn't quiet the noise that was going on, and therefore not everyone was able to hear. So what do you see from this Gemara? In order to be part of the zimun and be yotzi the chi of zimun, you have to hear it. It's not good enough to know that they're being mizamin or that other people heard and then you're just answering and following along with them. You have to have heard what the person said, Baruch Hashem HaMavayrach. Baruch Hashem, sorry, Baruch Lekei Shachal Mishalo. And if you don't hear that, not sufficient.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm confused. So why was he ikted? Why was he upset?
So he was upset because he didn't appreciate.
More is better.
He didn't appreciate.
He knew that the rest won't hear
it. Yeah, he didn't appreciate that fact. So it still was the person. Yeah,
there's another issue that they're learning to hear. Yeah. That if they eat in a group that's larger than 10, they should make a zimun of 10 or more.
They should have done. Right. So they didn't do that because it would cause a problem. Right.
Right. My question is, what's the obligation if you're eating a group of 10, certainly easy to do the zimun of 10.
So you could, if you did the zimun of 10, they said he would have basically gotten really angry. That was a non-option. Non-option. If they waited for everyone, the reason they couldn't do that is they wouldn't have been yotze. So they were stuck between a rock and a hard place. If we wait, we're not going to be yotze. And if we don't wait, and we do 10, he's going to be angry. So you know what they did? They did 3. Now, I'll ask you 2 questions. Yeah.
I thought that also you're talking about not hearing. So he said you're at a benching in what, right?
Yeah.
Versus hearing shul, you hear, let's say, mingyadeshim era, but you've kind of heard the end of it or the end of a bracha, the beginning of it. Isn't there a whole other, like you can say amen even if you need the whole bracha?
Yeah, so yeah. So there's,
right?
In fact, they have the story in the Gemara about the shul bishul in Alexandria, which was so large that they couldn't hear from the front to the back, and they have flags simply to wave. So you knew when to say amen, when to say different things. Because the difference is that here, you're being yotze in the Zimun through having to hear the responsive discussion between the person who's the Mevaris and you who are answering. Whereas in the case of davening, the person who's saying the Kaddish isn't being motzi you in the Kaddish. You have to answer when at the right time and you want to join that congregation. But there is definitely a difference between davening and the Birchas Zimun. It's definitely the case. And it's something that was obvious to me before you see this Gemara, but it's clear from the Gemara that there is an obligation to hear what the person who leads the benching is saying in order to answer, in order to fulfill your obligation.
You hear we wave the sign to be quiet.
Yes, we
I want to add one thing. So there's a because it speaks to what Rishi you mentioned before. The Tosfos Rosh says, you know, this Reish Kalusa, is he really such like a Hawaii guy? Now, of course, I'm not surprised if he's really a big, we know he's like the big political head honcho. So I can understand why he would be upset people doing some breakaway stuff in his table. On the flip side, it's hard to say, like, okay, it's like he's matted and covered and everything else, fine. So the Tosfos Rosh gives a different answer. You know what he was? He didn't have a personal slight. He didn't feel personally slighted. Instead, he had a problem with the breakaway minyanim for the same reason Rabbi Goldberg has a problem with breakaway minyanim. And that's why I like the fact that he thought about this in advance. The Tosfos Rosh says, Mishim shulohayu nimnim nimo, what was he matted about? What was he upset about? Because they didn't join him. And what's the problem not joining him? There's a halachic discussion. The Barov Am Hajis Melech. They should have joined the Reish Gulus. The Reish Gulus said, how could you break away? How do you have a breakaway minyan in your block? You should be in shul because Barov Am Hajis Melech. And that's why Shemay can't separate breakaway minyan. So there's 2 different possible reasons for the issue in the Reish Gulus' house. Either what should have brought them back is Barov Am Hajis Melech, or the kavod of the Reish Gulus. Now, going back to this kavod for a second, because it is relevant, the question is asked, and I might say it now, you know, the Mishnah is going to come up in a few lines. The Mishnah tells us, which you may know or may not know, if you have a group, you can't split off from the group. Meaning, if you have a group of 3, you can't bench on your own, because you're going to lose the Zimun. If you have a group of 10, you can't have a group of 3 splitting off here and here and here, because you lose the 10, meaning you lose, let's say, Elokeinu Shechal Mishabah. So unless you have like 20s, and 20 can split because they have 10 and 10. So that's their Mishnah coming up. So the question is, okay, great. I understand that they're stuck between a rock and a hard place. But the Mishnah clearly says, you cannot be mechali, you can't separate yourself out when you have a Zimun of 10 option there with you. You can't break into 3. So how were they allowed to do it? So you know, the Shikamuk Abetis and the Rashba says the same thing, and so wants to bring it in because it gets to, okay, so the Tosfos Rosh is worried about, we said, Barov Am Hajis Melech. Rashi was worried about the personal feelings of the Reish Galusa. So the Rashba and the Shikamuk Abetis speak to the personal feelings and say, you know something? If you're at a big Suda, you're at a big, like imagine a wedding. You're at a wedding meal, and the host, of the father of the groom, spent hundreds of dollars for you to be at his wedding per person. Hundreds of thousands of dollars to be at the whole wedding, right? And he sees people having a whole huge Zimun on the side, he might have a problem with that. So should you maybe not do that? Why? And if you don't do that, you only bench a smaller group of 3 at your table, aren't you losing out on Bracha Lekeinu? How could you do that? Which a lot of folks can talk about benching on the side for different reasons, for different circumstances. So he says, you know what the issue is? The reason why you can separate and bench on your own is because Gadol Kavod HaBriyos. To go ahead and to hurt the feelings of someone who's your host by having a set. Now, you know you can't stay at this meal. Let's say it's a wedding. You have to go home. It's late at night. Your babysitter's leaving. You have to go back to the kids. So you can't stay. So you have, but you have to, you want to be part, you have to make a Zimun because you have the Chiyuv Zimun. So what are you going to do? So you make a small Zimun on your own, but you're losing 10. Or in the case of Reish Galusa, the answer is cover the Brios. Hurting someone's feelings, the Racham says, rather lose the mitzvah of Zimun to the fullest extent. Shave al tasa, meaning you're passive about it, rather than hurt someone's feelings. And that's the halacha. That's what they say. Okay. Well, again, to answer some of the questions in terms of how this Reish Galusa story fits in with the Mishnah that we're about to do very soon. Okay. So let's continue. So Amar Rabba Tosfa. The Rabba Tosfa said, Hani Gimel de Karchi Rifta Bahadi Adadi. So there are three people who are breaking bread eating together. Vikadim Chab Minayu Baruch Ladaite. And someone, one of the three of them, I mean, you have a group of three eating, and one gets up and benches on his own. So Inu Nafkin Bezimun today. So meaning you have three, and one guy just benches. And you're like, wait, buddy, what'd you do? We have a Zimun. I'm sure it happens, right? So what's the halacha? So in fact, I'm embarrassed to say this happened to me last night. I went out to butcher block with my boys, met with my family, because it was my son's birthday. And I forgot who had bread and who didn't have bread, and we were kind of like, the kids were going nutty. I'm like, my wife's like, we gotta go now. I'm like, all right, everyone bench, let's go. And I just started benching. And my son's like, Abba, the three of us, I have two boys who are bar mitzvah, so we all actually had bread. I'm like, oh my gosh. And I already had finished the first bracha benching when he pointed out to me. And I forgot what to do. So I said, all right, everyone just go. I guess we lost it, because I'm sorry. I said, I'm so sorry. Let's see what the Gemara addresses my situation. They can fulfill their chiyuv of zimun by including him. Even though he benched, he can answer their zimun, even because they haven't been, two out of the three haven't benched yet. Ihu though, me, in this case, loy nafki b'zimun didu, but just because I answer their zimun, because they fly to, I lost out on my mitzvah zimun. I cannot fulfill it retroactively, which is shein zimun l'freya, because there is no zimun after benching. Zimun is a preamble to benching by definition. And therefore, in this case, which happens from time to time, where someone just, oh my gosh, I forgot, I can't believe it. So the halacha is, if he just started Baruch Ata Azan, so he didn't finish the bracha, he can stop and he can answer their zimun. But if he finished the bracha, the first of the three bracha, of the three derais of brachas of benching, he finished Azan Sakol, then he can answer the zimun, but he didn't fulfill his mitzvah. They do. That's the halacha.
Wow.
So you can answer. So you don't lose out. I mean, if two of the three are already benched and one is the one waiting, then the rove have finished. Then you're done. But if the majority have not yet benched and the minority has said, oops, we forgot, you can go ahead and do the zimun after the fact with the ones who have already benched. Because they say...
You'll
have to say also. Because they say they're no worse. Oh, I mean, you have to have the super majority. You have to have the two thirds.
Three of them. Maybe.
You have to have two thirds who haven't messed up yet. Right. That's our super majority number. Yeah, you have to have the two thirds. Okay, let's continue. So again, you can't do it retro. You can't be yotze retroactively. But it's a thing that comes up from time to time.
Unless you went washed and ate and you bread again.
No, but that's a separate meal. No, I would not. No, that wouldn't help. No, because it's once we decide to bench, their meal's over. No one else can join. Meaning, once the meal is finished, you cannot add new people. Once you've said, I'm done eating, the meal is finished. You can add people while you're still, you know, you haven't finished your meal. You can add to a meal that isn't complete. That's halacha. Okay.
But you can answer, though. That's what you're saying.
This person can answer. Yeah, this person can answer. Are you Shmuel? Yeah.
No, I'm saying,
yeah. In this case, I should have answered that there's
Zimun. You were prepared yesterday.
If I prepared, I literally was last night. I'm like, oh my gosh. This literally happened 2 hours ago. I should have taken out there tonight. It would have been better shape. Okay. It's totally relevant. This is really, this is, by the way, reminds me of the Gemara earlier in Brachos, which says, if a person, it says, it was the Gemara, in the beginning of the sixth parak. This beginning of the sixth parak says, if you remember the Gemara, it says, very beginning of the case in the Varchin. Yeah, I'll just read you really fast. The case in the Varchin, the beginning says, I think I'm not going to rely on ground today, but it's interesting. Case in the Varchin says, it says like this. Also, Adam Shehani min Olam HaZavro Bracha. We know that the reason why you have to make a Bracha Rishon is because you cannot benefit from this world without a Bracha. The Gemara says, well, if you did, Ma'ite Kante, what should you do? So the Gemara answers, Yelchas L'Chacham. You should go to a Talmud Chacham if you forgot to make a bracha rishon. Gemara says, walk to a Talmud Chacham. What are you going to do? It's not like in the priest where you go ahead and you confess. You go to the rabbi and the rabbi, you confess, I'm sorry, I didn't make a bracha rishon. That doesn't work in our religion. So what's he going to do for you? The answer is, no. Ela Amarava, Yelch Etzel Chacham Yikara. You have to go to the rabbis in the beginning, before you have to worry about brachos. You have to learn brachos first,
all right.
So that when you get into the situation with all these questions, you will know what to do, and you won't come to make a mistake. That's what it says. Okay, so I should have learned brachos first before I get into all these sticky situations. Okay, let's try and cover some ground. Rabbi Shmuel Omer. Okay, Rabbi Shmuel says, you say, Baruch Hashem HaMavorach, Rabbi Kiva said, Baruch Hashem. Okay, Rav and Bar Papa, Iklo Lebe, Kenishta de Abi Gibar. Rav and Bar Papa went to the shul of Abi Gibar, either it's the name of a place or a person. Tom Karbisifra, he went to read the Torah. So Amar, he said, Baruch Hu Es Hashem, meaning we say, Baruch Hu Es Hashem HaMavorach, when the person reads the Torah. He said, Baruch Hu Es Hashem, which is what Rabbi Akiva says, you say. I mean, in our Mishnah, there was a Machlokes from Rabbi Akiva, who said, and Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Akiva says, you just say, Baruch Hu Es Hashem. And Rabbi Yishmael says, like we do, as we'll see, Baruch Hashem Mevorach. So he just said, Baruch Hu Es Hashem Ve'ishtik. That's all he said, Ve'lomar HaMevorach. He left that out. And everyone loudly said, like in like rejection, they said to him, Baruch Hu Es Hashem HaMevorach. They should have added that as well, like the sheets of Rabbi Yishmael. And Amar Rava, Tasya Uchma, you blackened like a vessel, you blackened container. Uch Bahadi Plug to Lamalach. Why are you sticking yourself into Machlokes? You should have done like Rabbi Yishmael. The Oid Hanogamal, Rabbi Yishmael. We know everyone follows Rabbi Yishmael. Meaning Rabbi Kiva also agrees to Rabbi Yishmael that you're fine if you say Baruch Hashem Mevorach. All Rabbi Kiva is saying is that you could also just leave out the Mevorach. But he agrees that Mevorach would be fine too. So you should have said Mevorach because you've been Yotzei L'chol Deos. Rashi says you have fulfilled the...
Right, one create a headache.
And you, why stick yourself in the machlokes? And you know that the proper opinion is like Rabbi Yishmael. Okay. Mishnah. Gimel Shachul Kachas. The three go in together. Amen, Rashayin, L'chalik. They cannot separate. V'chein Dal, V'chein Chamishin. Same thing with four and same with five. Meaning, you still have not enough to split up because if you split at that point, someone's not going to be benching with the Zima. Vav Nechlokim. The six can split into groups of three. Adas Sarah until you get to ten. If you have 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, until you get to 20, they can't slip because you will miss out, someone's going to miss out on the ability to bench with a Zimun of the Baruch HaLokeinu with 10. Until you get to 20, then you can split. It's a whole discussion about, wait, are you allowed to? Three options here. Allowed to, if you want to split, supposed to split, or it's just not usher to split if you did it. You didn't cause make an usher. So the way the Ramah says it is you're not supposed to. It's really just not us or two, but you're really not supposed to. Why? Why do you think, Richie? Come on, Richie, you're the man. Barovah Majik Mela. Why would you think you would want to split? And the Rambam says, Yesh L'chalik, Yesh L'hem L'chalik. It sounds like the Rambam is saying you should. Why? What would be the source to say you should split? Opposite Rabbi Gover.
Maybe more.
More brachos. The more people are saying the praises of Hashem's name, we'll have all sorts of groups of people praising Hashem, praising everyone, praising Hashem here, praising Hashem there, all over the place.
They are all praising Hashem.
Yes, but this is more responsive to brachos as opposed to one. I get it. That's the debate. Okay. The halacha certainly is if you want to, you could. Shtei chaburos, shahayu ochol b'bayis echad. So two groups being in one house, in one big room. As long as some part of the group can see the other group, Hare Elu Mitzarfim L'Zimun, they could combine, meaning the two groups can combine together for Zimun. V'im Lav, and if part of the group cannot see the other part of the group, V'im Lav, Elu Mizamim La'atzum, V'Elu Mizam La'atzum, each one has to bench on their own. The same would be true, by the way, they say, a mirror doesn't count. If you can see each other through a mirror, that doesn't count because you're not seeing the person, you're seeing the reflection. Or the same is true if you can see them on Skype or a video camera or something like that, closed circuit TV. Also, that's not enough. That's not enough to create.
See, when we were davening with the to see a shot, virus, we weren't davening with a minion.
No, because there were people.
No,
all,
say,
all
if
computer.
I was watching at home alone.
Oh, yes.
Not a minion.
No. It might be better to daven at the time and people were davening, but it's not.
Well, but there's still a difference with whether or not you were davening with the
at the time
congregation, whether or not they were able to count you for the minion.
Definitely not.
Definitely not.
But this for Zima. We're talking about for Zima. Well, even for Zima. It is correct. That's right. So wine, remember, is they used to have this concentrated wine, and they have to dilute it in order to drink it. So you cannot make a bracha on it until you put water in it, dilute it to the proper drinking ratio. You can make a bracha of rapiyagafen even as it is yain chai, which is called the concentrated wine. Okay, Gemara says, Mike Mashram, what does this mission come to teach us? We already know earlier from the previous mission of the parak, Gimel she'achlu ka'achas time nizamen. Three people who eat together, they have to be nizamen, which is what our Mishnah also talked about. The Gemara says, no, hakmashma. Our Mishnah teaches as follows. Ki had amar rabbi abba bar amar shmuel. Gimel she'yashu le'achol ka'achas. The three people are sitting and eating together, gadayim lo'achlu, and they haven't yet eaten yet. What does it mean? They haven't yet eaten the kezayit. I mean, they haven't yet been, they don't have a chiv yet to bench. They started to eat, but they haven't yet eaten enough. Meaning, so our meal has started. We already, through that initial eating, have a seiruf that we require benching together. We cannot separate and bench on our own. And the Rishayin L'chalik at that point. Meaning, this, the initiation of the meal, is enough to create a chiv to be mezamin together. Lashon Acha, another answer. Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Shmuel. This is what it means to teach us. Kimo shiyashu lechol kachas. Three people who are sitting and eating together. Afa bishol po echa biechat ocho mikikaro. Even though we're all eating from our own piece of bread, our own separate sandwich. Ein v'mershayim l'chalik. So the chiddush here is that you might have thought that the only time we have a chiyuv to eat together is when we literally eat the same food together. We are eating from a joint dish, joint tash. But if I'm eating my own sandwich from my lunch pail and you're eating from your sandwich from your lunch box that your wife packed you, you might think we're not obligated to bench together. And the answer is no. Even there, you are, yes, that would obligate everyone to eventually eat together.
Different than if you're sitting at this table and he's over that table, that table.
So they say, for example, in the case of like a lunchroom or like a lunch, or like imagine like you're at a restaurant, because I feel like you're eating with just, you know, by yourself. That has the other people in the room. That's not considered to be kibbutz sudah together, because you had no intention of playing as a joint eating. But if you were eating with a bunch of coworkers and you sat together, yeah, that would certainly
count. You go to a restaurant, you and your wife, you're having dinner.
And there has to be other tons of, there's tons of people there, right?
Tons of people there. You don't look over the guy and you get together. Well, what if you
Unless you intended to eat together. You can't. You have no say together. You didn't plan to eat with him and he's not interested in playing eating with you.
What if you say, look, I know you're eating there and I'm eating there, but like, when we're done, let's have in mind. What
yeah, because mix is Roy and Adel, that'd be fine. Yeah, you could. Yeah. It's not, we're discussing not whether you could, it's whether you have to.
Okay.
So if you don't plan on it, you don't have to. Okay, so Kihada the Ravuna. The Amr of Huna, like Rav Huna said, Gimel Shabo, the Gimel Chaburos, and the Mishayim L'chalik. If you have three people who came from three separate groups, can you imagine you have in this room a group of people over here, a group of people here, a group of people over here. One person broke off from each of the three, and they now came to this table. Now three are at this table. So in that case, they're not allowed to separate because they're now eating. They're joined together at this table. So Amr of Chisra said, no, that's only true. B'hu Shabo, mi Gimel Chabur Shal Gimel B'nei Adam. That's only true if they started out with the Chiyuv Zimun, because they had started with a group of three, and now they're coming together. Now they can't separate because they had an obligation for Zimun. They cannot now separate and be on their own now that they're with a group of three together here in a separate table. So Amr of, the Rav says, V'lo Amru Ela D'lo Akimu Hanach V'azmi Elayhu. Now that's only true, though, if when those other original groups that they started out with, they didn't bench, including that third person who separated out. Remember, we had learned that if you have a group for benching, and you separate and you say, I'm going to bench, you know, we're like, you have a group of, let's say, three. One guy leaves to the outside to the shuk, nearby, right outside the door. He goes outside. We said you can bench with him as long as he can hear you, even though he's outside in the shuk. That's with three. So here, too, if you have a group of three, a group of three, a group of three, or a group of four, a group of four, a group of four, and then one guy separates out, if that group of three benched and included him because he could hear them, well, then he's done. He's finished. In that case, Aval Azmi Alayhu, if they had benched with that third person, including him because he could hear them, within earshot, Biduchtayhu, where he is, even though he's not technically with them, like at the table, Paruch Zimun Menayhu, he's lost the Zimun. And once you lost Zimun, you're done. Now, I mean, you cannot reconstitute that Chiyuv Zimun by joining again with three new people. So Amar Rava, Mina Amina, how do I know that once you have the obligation dissipate, it doesn't come back just because now you've refocused your eating with a new group? So it's not, I have an example by Toma. Mita, if you have a bed, which was Tameya, if you have a bed which became Tameya, Shenignava Chatia, and it half, meaning it broke into pieces, and parts of the bed were stolen, so it's no longer a whole piece, a whole bed, Osha Abda Chatia, Osha Chalkua Achim, Osha Shutzin, or it was split into different by different partners, Tahora, because once it broke into pieces, it's partial pieces, it's no longer a bed, meaning a bed is when it's all assembled. When it's become disassembled, it's not bed, pieces. The pieces no longer have a status of tumma because it's only when it's a kli When it's a utensil, like when it's a structure, it has tumah. When it's pieces, broken up, have no use, it loses the status of tumah. Let's say you now put it back together. Hichzi ruha, mikabel tumah mikan lo haba. It only becomes tummy in the future, meaning it doesn't it only became tummy in the future, will be tummy. But just because you put the pieces back together, the original tumah does not come back. In other words, once a status is lost, it's lost. So if you had a chi of zimun, and you're with the group of three, and your original group of three were mizamein with you in earshot, and you lost your zimun now, you can't reconstitute that by coming to a new table and say, hey guys, let's join you. You're done. You're finished. Once you're finished, you're finished. Alma, kevan dit halguha, once they, oh, this is going back to the case of the bed, once they separated, parach latuma, mine, the tuma has left it. Hachanami kevan dit az minalayu, since they included him in their benching, they said, hey buddy, you're with us, we're benching, and they start, parach minayu, you're finished. You fulfilled your obligation and cannot reconstitute it by coming back into the room and joining another group. You're finished. Okay. Okay, we'll go a few more lines. Beit Chaburos, if you have two groups that remember, they can see each other. So Tanim Yish, Shamish B'neihem, Shamish Mitzarfon. If you have two groups and there's a Shamish, they can't see each other, but a Shamish is going from one group to, I mean, one waiter is going from one group to the other, they can be Mitzarfon with Zimun, even if they don't see each other in the group.
Do you mind the Shamish? Do you mind the
Okay.
We're talking about the waiter. So you must have the waiter?
Yeah, no, you must start the groups together. The waiter, meaning...
The waiter is...
Seraph can occur through two means.
Through the waiter.
Vision, visually seeing part of each group, or through a joint, through a shared waiter, who's going between the two groups. That also creates that your meals are somewhat connected. You can't see each other. They either are just on the other side of the wall there, but the same caterer is going back and forth with different weight staff. That makes it that you could be mezamim together if you wanted to. Okay. So you can't make it. You don't make a bracha on the wine unless it's reconstituted with the water. You still mix the water in. So Tarabanan, yayin ad shelo nasim l'sochamayim. The Brisa says that wine which is concentrated, yayin chai. If you didn't put water in it, you don't make a bracha b'rei piagafin on it because it's not palatable. It's too strong. It's too concentrated. Ela b'rei piagafin, you make a bracha b'rei piagafin. It doesn't have the refined status of wine yet, so you have a high level bracha. We know that once you take it from grapes to a higher level of wine, it gets the refined state. The chashivas creates another bracha.
The same bracha achrona.
The bracha achrona, yeah, because that would be, well, it would be al eitz, I guess. It wouldn't be al, yeah, it would be al eitz. It's just the status of al eitz, yeah. Notli meno lidayim. And you also can use it to wash your hands, because it's not chashiv. It's just food, but it's not chashiv food. So you can use it to wash the lidayim. Which you see from here, that you can even use non-water to wash your hands for tumas adayim, since it is the status of mei peros, it's the status of water, fruit juice, that would be enough to go ahead and to use to wash your hands for tumas adayim. Because it's like water, it's mei peros, the water of fruit. So you could use it to wash tumas adayim. Okay. Mishnah l'sol chamayim, but once you put water into it, and you dilute it, mevarchna l'abrei p'ri agafen, you can go ahead and make b'rei p'ri agafen, because now it's refined, it's high level. The ain nosli menu liadayim, but you can't use it to wash your hands because chashiv. Yeah, you can't use that. Okay, let's continue. So that's all according to Rabbi Eliezer.
I'm surprised that you could use even the fruit juice to wash your
hands. Yeah.
That's kind of still not.
Yeah, that it's like Rashi says, it's the shame mayim olav. It's cold water because it's mei peros, the water of fruit. It's not obvious.
Higher than water.
Yeah, not obvious. Yeah, I understand. Okay, that's Shita Rav Eliezer. Chama Omrim Benkach Benkach Mevarch Lala Ber Pi Agafen. Either way, you can make a bracha Ber Pi Agafen, whether you mix it or not. Ve'en Losni Yad Meili Adayim, but you can't use it for once you mix the water, and you can't use it for Tzil Sadayim. Either way, Kaman Azla, because you can't waste. Either way, who's the goal? Like Yishmol Aisa. Come on, Kubali has there. Rabbi Yehuda says you could use bread for any purpose, non-edible purposes, not eating purposes you need, because you can, as long as it's for some benefit, it's not considered to be wasting. That's just like Rabbi Yehuda, you can use this wine for washing the sadayim, even though you're not consuming it directly. Okay, let's stop over here.
Rabbi
Sugarman the floor.